Good evening, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. We're glad to be with you again here. We are live for another church broadcast here on the 16th day of December 2022. And this year is 2 weeks away from being over. And we get to start a brand new year, 2023. Or as some say, in 2023. Yeah. Well, I hope that will be the case for all of us. Amen. We'll walk in a greater freedom and this liberty from all the power of darkness in 2023. And we'll see God show up mightily in this world, in this nation, in this world. Well, we're going to open up with some news here tonight as we begin the broadcast today. So, massive multi-party pushback in Canada puts Trudeau's gun grab bill on hold. Well, that's nice to hear that they're going to stand up against the bastard son of Castro. That's right. If you didn't know that, you study that, you'd find out that's who he is. COVID boosters 18 times more dangerous for young people than the virus itself, than the COVID virus itself, the study finds. For young people, it's extremely dangerous, 18 times more dangerous for them than just getting the virus. J.K. Rowling, you know who she is, the author of the Harry Potter books and what they base those movies on is J.K. Rowling. But she is speaking out against transgenderism. That's right. It isn't hate speech to speak the truth, she says. And she says the contradictions of the modern-day sexual revolution drives her crazy. Well, I wouldn't say that anything drives me crazy, but that's her confession because she's not a believer and she's probably a witch or something too. But she doesn't like the perversion going on and the transgenderism. She doesn't like that. Well, some lost people don't like some of these things. Obviously, a lot of this nation that is not saved doesn't like the LGBTQ agenda and doesn't like the transgender, drag queen story hours for the children. A lot of people don't like that, and they're not born again, but they just don't like it. There's something in them that doesn't like that wickedness. But Cambridge Dictionary has quietly changed the definition of man and woman, ceding linguistic territory to the radical left. That's right, they've given in, and they're not going to have the traditional view of man and woman anymore. And congregation in the English countryside is on high alert after a dead cat was found hanging from the flagpole. And a dead fox was on the church doorsteps. That's right. So the pastor of a church suspects Satanism and Satanists doing that. Well, I remember that Satanists put things on our church years ago. And they were really attacking our church in that community that we were pastoring in, not in Billings, Montana. It was in a different state and a different city, but they were really the Satanist groups there in that community were really going after our church at that time, the church that we pastored at that time. They did a lot of things to try to shut us down, to curse us, to do all manner of wickedness against us. I remember one time they come in our house while we were not home. They astral projected in and put a bunch of goat hairs on the church record system and the financial records of the church and trying to curse the church's finances to shut us down that way. Any way they could, they were trying. And we found goat hair and dung together mixed on the record there. But, yeah, they did that and a whole lot of other things. They did things to the church, put up different curse things on the church. And yeah, anyway. LGBTQs will do anything to blaspheme God and desecrate the manger scene is one of the things they did. They have a website called Q Spirit, or I guess it stands for Queer Spirit, because it's sure not the Holy Spirit. But anyway, they showed the manger scene, and they're selling them for prices on the website there for two dads, two Josephs with a babe in the manger, and two Marys also there with the babe in the little manger crib thing. And they're selling these things. And these depict these abominations, gay and lesbian nativities. Gay, they also say selling gay Christmas cards. Yeah, two Marys at the scene and two Josephs. This is sick, isn't it? But that's so, you know, the perversions that are going on in this world. California school board president invites students to naked Santa gay party and gives them alcohol. Now, I guess they just get away with that, the principal of this school. And the board is getting away with doing that. But here's an organization that supposedly, and the founder and the one that wrote the stories, is supposedly a Christian. But I highly doubt that. VeggieTales creator complains that Candace Cameron's Burr TV channel won't have any queers on it. Oh my, what a tragedy, huh? That's right. Paul Vischer is definitely deceived and not walking as a Christian man. Vischer, a white man, is joined with CRT and sexual perversion and has even gone so far as to claim that white people who send their children to Christian schools are racist and evil. So I wouldn't buy any more VeggieTales. If you've been buying that and showing it to your children, why would you want to support a man that is obviously perverted in his beliefs that are anti-Christian beliefs, anti-biblical? That's right. And Burr has left Hallmark Channel to come and form a more wholesome channel because Hallmark has compromised with the LGBTQ. And she is naming her channel the Great American Family Channel, and they will have no LGBTQ or other perversion, she says, on that channel. Well, good for her. I'm glad to see that. I don't do cable anyway or satellite or any of that, so I wouldn't know about any of those channels, Hallmark or the Great American Family that's being formed. And yeah. But Biden signed the Respect for Marriage Act surrounded by perverts and LGBTQs and drag queens as he signs that Respect for Marriage, which is an act against Christians. It's not for and in favor for Christians and the church. It's against us. Obviously, he wouldn't sign anything really for the church. So, of course, it's going to be against us. And look who's surrounding him while he signs it. So what do you expect it's going to be about anyway? I mean, really, it's his track record has not been a very good one. Yeah, so a Georgia black megachurch pastor, Jamal Bryant, suggests that his church should grow weed on its property to attract more black males. Obviously, he has a problem having too many women in his church. He'd like to get more males in his church, and he even suggests that that would help attract black males and teach them farming by growing weed on the church property. Teach them farming by growing weed? How about teaching them corruptness and teaching them to do things that are against the law? Because in Georgia, not like Colorado and some of the other states, Washington State, and even it passed here in Montana, but it's in Georgia, it's against the law to grow marijuana. It's against the law to grow weed. And here this pastor telling the people that we ought to do that? Uh-uh. Something's wrong with that picture. Something's wrong with that pastor to promote that. But why would he want to do that? There are many other ways to get male black men to come to church other than turning the church property into a marijuana farm. Really. Boy, I've heard all kinds of things, but, you know, that's another strange one there. And, you know, we hear strange things every week. I'm sure you do too. So nothing new under the sun. All these perversions have already been done and continue to be done and will continue to be done till Jesus comes. Okay, and so we can pray against these things, and we can stand in spiritual warfare against this darkness and these evil things that are taking place at this present time in this society that we live in this culture, the ungodly culture that has been embraced by so many today. But in Jesus' name, it's not going to prevail. And we believe God, and it's coming down, and righteousness will arise in Jesus' name. I know there are those that say our country's over, it's no more, it's history. Well, you know, I just don't believe that. You know, I believe this country will prevail, and it may not be in the condition that it is today, but, you know, God loves his Israel. He loves his children, and he has a plan for them, and it's not all over yet for them. And God is trying to woo his people back to himself, those who have wandered and have compromised. And he's calling his people, he's calling his church to arise and awaken and stand up for him and righteousness and truth. And I surely believe there's going to be a remnant that does that. I know the world will continue to get more wicked and more darker before the coming of the Lord. I do know that, and I do believe that, but there's also going to be an arising of God's church, a rising of God's people, I believe, too, at this time. And we will see that take place. And yes, there'll be persecution, but yeah, there will be many people still come to the Lord. Hallelujah, because time is not over yet. And Jesus is not going to let the devil have the last word and get away with all this. And we know that. We know the word says that. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Thank you for tuning in today to this church live broadcast of the Oasis Church here as we share the word with you here and have a live service here on the network here, live radio broadcast here. And we pray you'll be blessed by it and encouraged tonight and be ministered to and get some deliverance too would be nice also. Hallelujah. So thanks for being here. We're going to open up with prayer here as we begin. Thank you, Jesus. There's so many needs out there, so many things that I'm aware of. So, Father, we pray right now for those that are suffering right now. Just talking to someone today who's suffering with a sickness and lost their voice. We ask you to heal them, or lost part of their voice anyway. And we ask you to heal them up in Jesus' name. We rebuke these infirmities of the flesh, these sicknesses and diseases that try to attack people's bodies. And this brother in the Lord has been attacked with something, and we rebuke it. And others that are sick right now that we're aware of, Lord, we rebuke the sickness in their bodies too. In Jesus' name, we rebuke them and command the sicknesses to go and be gone in Jesus' name. And we declare that our bodies are healed by the stripes of Jesus. They were healed by the stripes of Jesus. We were healed, therefore we are healed. We rebuke attacks against these bodies and tell them they have to stop it in the name of Jesus. We're not taking these lying symptoms, these lying attacks in Jesus' name. We cover our bodies with the blood of Jesus. We thank you for a healthy life, a healthy body in the name of Jesus. We thank you, even if you've been diagnosed with something horrible by doctors, we rebuke that diagnosis. We rebuke that lie of darkness that's trying to take you out or cause you difficulties, cause you to have some procedure or something. I pray for a pastor friend that got attacked this week and has had his nose bleeding and was right in the service. It started and it would not stop. And we just pray for complete healing from that in Jesus' name. Understand that a vein ruptured or something in his nose and just kept bleeding, wouldn't want to stop. And Lord, we just thank you for healing our brothers completely and totally in the name of Jesus. We thank you that he recovers all and he gets back in the pulpit with no problems and no lingering effects of this in Jesus' name. We thank you for healing that dear brother, that dear pastor, Lord, who's faithful to you Thank you for it. Thank you for ministering to him. We rebuke this. Thank you that that vein is healed up completely and stronger than it was before in the name of Jesus. We praise you for that. Praise you for victory there. And we come against the darkness and the evil that's tried to come against his church, Lord. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. And we thank you for those that's come against all the churches, Father, these Satanists and these witches and warlocks and occult practitioners and those who claim to be Christian and are in some way involved in the occult. We rebuke those spirits that have been released against the church in Jesus' name. Say, no, devil, you will not prevail against the church of a living God. In Jesus' name, we declare that. And we thank you for the continued healing of our brother who lost his son, Father, that you continue to minister to him and his family members and the grandpa and the mother of this child. And Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for ministering to the sheriff department that lost this precious deputy who'd only been in a year and was doing great, serving well. And then this attack of a drunk woman, a woke woman, who said she was hoped that she killed him, that ran into the car that smashed him up or ran into him somehow. And anyway, it was tragic, and we rebuke the devil for that. And we pray you save that woman who did that. We pray you convict her and bring her to salvation and save her miserable soul, Lord. Save her miserable spirit that she could be born again and come to know you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we pray for every listener. We ask you to minister to them, Father, encourage them, strengthen them spiritually and physically and mentally. Pray for another couple that has been sick for months now. We pray that they'll get over that sickness and they'll recover. Lord, all that the enemy has tried to steal from them, that they've been ministering faithfully and for years and years and years, the ordained minister, they've been serving in nursing homes and pastoring senior citizens there for a long time, and as well as other ministries. So, Lord, we pray that they'll get back all the devil has stolen from them in Jesus' name. And, Lord, again, for every listener, Father, bless them and bless their household. We just thank you for covering them with the blood of Jesus, Lord, and we thank you for victory in their lives, that they be overcomers over all the power of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, for those who, this is the only church that some of the listeners get. They tell me how they listen even on Sunday mornings and some on Saturdays, and they get their meat and teaching here. And Lord, I thank you for them and ask you to bless them. And Lord, if possible, that they find a good church too, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we just ask your blessing on the broadcast tonight, Lord. We cover it with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the angels of the Lord round about me, round about the electronics in Jesus' name. And thank you that it will be released with the anointing tonight, Father, for your glory. People will be blessed. In Jesus' name, thank you for the angel of the Lord taking care of things. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bless y'all. Glad to have you here. And we're going to get into this word tonight, trapped by the mind, the title, or we could call it the trapped mind, or trapped by the mind. I could decide which one I want to call it, but anyway, I decided on trapped by the mind. So, let's get into it. You ready? All right, let's go. You know, there are things that are holding people back today that have to be addressed in their lives, or they're going to continue to be held back. And some are being so held back right now. Some are just being, you know, they've been stuck. And they've already been held back for years, some of them. And often because the works of demons within, which are working within their lives, which we'll also look at today in some detail in a little bit here. But, you know, some of you may feel like you're just wasting away. Maybe that you're always miserable, and that your strength of life has been sucked out of you, just sucked right out of there. And that you feel like you just don't have the strength to go on. And yet the Christian life is to be a life of joy. But the problem, you know, with many believers today, they have let the joy zappers come and zap that joy, steal that joy from them, and there is no joy of the Lord as their strength. Yeah, even though it's available to them, they're not walking in it, they're not partaking of it, they're not taking it. And many think joy is circumstantial and based on our circumstances. Well, there's plenty of negative circumstances in life. How many know that? Joy is not based on circumstance. Joy is not circumstantial. Okay, I want to make that clear right off the bat here, you know. Joy is not based on circumstances. It's not circumstantial. It comes from heaven. Notice what it says. The joy of who is our strength? Not the joy of man, not the joy of the human, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, God is joy that can be your strength. He has joy, and he is joy, and his joy can be your strength. Yeah, and it has a spiritual, non-worldly source, okay? A spiritual, non-worldly source. It's something you can receive and you can keep. So quit thinking circumstantial and think heavenly, spiritual, about the joy of the Lord, because it did say the joy of man is your strength. The joy of a human, the joy of your emotions is your strength. It said the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? So again, have you ever been down? Have you ever just felt so low that, you know, that there was just nothing there to scrape off the ground? So you were so low that you were below everything that, I mean, have you ever felt like you're all alone and no one even cares or even could help you? Have you ever felt like everybody was against you? Your job was not going well, or you didn't have a job, and your marriage is headed the wrong direction, and you're having trouble with the young ones, the children maybe, and you're just feeling disgusted, worried, tired of it all? Feel like giving up on your Christian life? Like, what's the use of going on anymore? If, you know, if any of those are or similar things, well, then today's message is for you, saints. And today's message is for you. I want to see you encouraged in the Lord today. Amen. Let's go ahead and read a couple of scriptures here as we start out today. 2 Peter 1:2. Hallelujah. This is good news, and before it's over, you need to be encouraged. All right? 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How's it going to be multiplied to you? How's this grace and peace going to be multiplied? Through the knowledge of God. And I've read this scripture to you before, but I'm going to keep on with it because it's so important. Colossians 1:9. Here's another good one. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, with the knowledge of his will. What is his will? His will is that you walk in the joy of the Lord. That is your strength. See, that's his will. You know that's what the Word of God says. You know that's his will. Okay. Oh, by the way, I found out who one of the other men that was crucified with Jesus was. Yeah, did you know who it was? It was Paul's dad, because he said, "My old man was crucified with Christ." No, that's just a joke. I just thought I'd throw that in. No, see, knowledge is the key, we see, to winning in every area of your life. See? If you're ignorant of the word in an area, it won't produce for you. I don't care how true the word is, and it's very true, and it's always true. But listen, if it's not something you know, if it's something you're ignorant about, my people perish for lack of knowledge, then it's not going to produce for you. It's the way you perceive something that counts too, you know. And if you're not perceiving it as truth and you're not perceiving it as for you, That's right. See, God's grace and his favor is upon you, and you need to know that. And you need to perceive God correctly about these truths. And see, let's go to Psalms 5:12 here. Let's go over there. Psalm chapter 5. And I've read this just recently, but I'm going to read it again. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield. Okay, we're surrounded with favor like a shield of favor. Amen? The righteous are. But I may know that that's not necessarily everybody's case, because not everybody's walking in that. Not everybody has that knowledge. Not everybody has even read this scripture and believed it. Not every believer has. But to overcome this negative attitude is to get it in your heart that God's favor is surrounding you as a shield, and it is upon you, and you are surrounded with his favor. See, God has continued to bless us since we began to grasp these truths. Okay, first job I got as a Christian was helper at an AC, air conditioner heating company. But God blessed me, gave me favor at that job. Even though I was persecuted for my faith because I was a newer Christian, I was witnessing to everybody. But he moved me right on up to a crew chief. I had my own crew, played my own kind of Christian music there, whereas before I had to listen to garbage. And you know, and then I went from that to even a higher paid position with another company, and God blessed me. See, and that was my time in the secular field before I went into, you know, the ministry for full-time ministry. But, you know, when you get up in the morning, you need to get up with a spring in your step and a shout of praise on your lips. Not, oh, no, another day. You know, that's not the way to get up. I mean, you're God's own chosen one, and you need to start seeing yourself that way. You're special in his eyes. His favor is upon your life. And when you go to get a job, expect to get it. If you want it and you feel like it's God, expect to get it, because his favor rests on you. Don't say, well, I probably won't get it. I remember this one job I got, you know, I was one out of 32 applicants, but you know what? I claimed it, and I believed it, and I had God's favor on me, and I got the job, okay? I got the job. And so you need to go in there with the confidence of the Lord. You don't need to go in there with fear and trepidation that you're going to be rejected and they probably won't want you and you got all this wrong in your life and why would they ever pick a person like you? Well, you got the wrong demon mentality anyway going in anywhere like that. Okay? Demons have been ministering to you for so long, and we're going to talk about that too in a minute. But, you know, Daniel was a prisoner and a foreigner, and his people were hated in Babylon. You know the story of Daniel. They didn't care for the Jews. But you know what? What does it say about Daniel in Daniel 1:9? It says here, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. He brought him into favor and tender love with the one that was in charge over them. Right? Yeah, that's right. No earthly reason for him to have that kind of favor with these leaders of this ungodly nation. And maybe no reason for you to have it either, but you can if you believe it, if you walk that way, and if you'll take the word for what it says about you and believe it for what it says about you and start walking that way in your life. Look over to Zechariah 2:8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which boiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. So you know, somebody touches you, somebody attacks you, somebody tries to hurt you, he's touching the apple of God's eye. Hey, that's pretty powerful. He that touches you touches God, the creator. God's got us, man. He's got our back. He's got our front. He's got our sides. He's got over and above and below. And recognize that you're a winner, not a loser looking for somewhere to lose, but you're a winner going somewhere to win. That's the attitude you need to have, see? And when you know what you are and what you have, how can you say you lose? Is Jesus a loser? Is he sitting up on the throne waiting to come back and be a loser? Or is he coming back the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and every knee's going to bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? What's he doing? Yeah, he's not sitting up there hanging his head. No, he's just looking glorious and living in expectation of what he's going to be, you know, coming back to get his children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how can you keep a defeated attitude You need to expect good things to happen, and you know what? They will. But if you expect bad things, then you're going to activate demons, and they're going to happen too. Yeah, people who have negative expectations, what are they doing? They're activating negativism against them. So you need to develop the God kind of image of you about yourself. That's so important. Develop the God kind of image. Quit developing that negative image that is created by demons for you to look at. And, you know, this is a problem for many of us. Even, you know, sometimes it's even more for women. I mean, even though men have this problem too. But from day one, the devil has planned for you to be defeated, and he has set your life up to be a defeated life. In school, there was always somebody to mock you, laugh at you, pick on you. Hey, big lips. Hey, fatso. Hey, pig face. Hey, dunce head. Hey, idiot. Hey, skinny legs. Hey, stutterer, ugly, big nose, big ears, whatever. You know, always something to be picked on about, to be mocked about. You know, always something. Yeah, because, you know, the people hate themselves, so they make others miserable too. Because they're not able to know that they're loved, so they're going to make everybody miserable too. So anyway, because of this garbage, many look down at themselves, and they have a poor, poor, poor image of themselves. But listen, you've been told after, you know, that you're never going to amount to anything when you grow up. You're never going to get a good job. You're never going to get this. You're going to always be just a poor man or a poor woman. And husbands beat down their wives, and wives beat down their husbands, and, you know, and they just get, they're looking pretty ugly, and they don't encourage each other enough in a marriage, or on your job, you can never do anything right, or never do enough, or the devil whispers in your ear some lie, and you believe it, you buy into it, and since you've been programmed this way by the devil anyway, it's hard to see yourself as God sees you, see? Hard for any of us to see ourselves the way God sees us, because we've all been negatively programmed by the devil since the day we were in our mother's womb. Since the day we come out of our mother's womb, we've been programmed to negativity. Okay? So we need to reprogram our computer, right? Reprogram our mind with a supernatural God kind of programming. The word programming, right? That's a whole new type of programming. And many of us put on a front of being secure and of having it all together. But inside, we're shaky and unsure and surely not confident before others or before the Lord. And we have these weaknesses of instability because of the devils within. People have insecurities and inferiorities that almost consume them at times. Other times, it seems like, whether we're going to make it, but... Yeah, it's not, we're doing okay, you know, but other times, man, the insecurities, inferiorities, they're just eating them up. You know, other Christians have heard this before, but it's just head knowledge to them. It's no production, because it never went the 12 inches from the head to the heart. In other words, it never went from into the, it never really got in their spirit and their heart where they believed it. Yeah. And so it was logos, but it was not rhema or revelation knowledge to them. So, and too many are trapped by their own thoughts, see, about themselves. Your own self-view of you with a crippling by demons mind, see, that's what happens. You're crippled by the demons in your mind, and your mind thinks wrongly, and it's crippled because you've been letting demons minister to you all your life from the time you were born, right? The ministry of demons is something that, you know, people have grown used to. So anything different would be like foreign to them and make you uncomfortable. How many know that, you know, people are comfortable with the level of life that they've had with their demons since the beginning of their life, because that's what they're used to. And see, really, to go where God wants you to go, you got to step out and go where you've never been before, right? And that's a little bit uncomfortable, and the demons make you uncomfortable to even think about doing that, because they don't want you to live that way. They don't want you to go out to something different. They want you to just stay the same. How many know sameness is the way demons like it? They want to keep it the same because they've been in control so long. They want to keep it that way. That's right. But a lot of people, they're just grown used to the ministry of demons, and so anything different would be just scary and uncomfortable, because, hey, demons don't want you to have anything different, because so they're going to make you feel uncomfortable with anything that might lead to your liberation and to change in your life, change in a God way, in a godly way, in a supernatural Holy Spirit way. They don't want that to take place. So you know what? People stay same all their life with little change year after year after year. That's right. Let's face the reality, folks. Most people change very little over the years because the same demons are still in place, still dug in deep, still continuing to minister lies of deception to a person who has come to believe them as their personal reality, see? And they will create a personal reality for you that is not an accurate reality, but it's one that you're comfortable with because it's sameness. How many know that sameness is not healthy all the time? You know, sameness can be very detrimental to your spiritual growth, okay? And this is who you are. This is why you can never do this or be that. This is why you'll never become this way or that. This is why you are, you know, who you are. And these are your handicaps, your problems. You'll always carry these problems. And you, many people have resigned themselves to carry these problems, carrying these mental handicaps all their lives. And why you'll never recover from your condition. Why, that sexual abuse you had when you were young, that abortion you had will always hold you back. Mistreatment will always hold you back. That mistake you made will always be something that hangs over your head. You'll never find love, or you'll never feel like you're worth loving. You'll never feel like you're worth anything. Why would anybody love you? I mean, on and on the ministry of demons go. This is indeed a ministry of demons. Sure, not the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, know that, right? And multiple millions of devils minister to multiple millions of people to hold them in their traps, their snares, their grips of darkness. And many maybe even, of course, many of them are saved and born again, but they're still, you know, they're still in the soul and the body held back, held down by a ministering of demons. They have a false reality and a wrong view of themselves because of the dark, seductive ministry of demons and devils to them day in and day out. They have created a demon image inside a person. I mean, know that the image a lot of people have of themselves were created by demons. They weren't created by the Holy Spirit. And see, we're going through a renewing process, a change process. And we need to receive a God image in this process, not a demon image within us of ourselves, see. Okay? And that so many of us, you know. Yes, good evening. God bless you. So many of us have a hard time with getting this kind of an image of us because our parents didn't have that kind of image of themselves. And so and it's a generational spiritual thing. That's right. They didn't show the proper love. They didn't have it to show. Therefore, many of us, because of not being loved, can't see God's love as we should see God's love and continue to see him as our earthly father. We try to see him that way. We see him mean, unkind, out to get us or punish us when we blow it or mistreat us in ways and just keep us from having any blessings. And others see God as so far away. Well, he couldn't be concerned about me. He seems so far away from the situations and circumstances of your life, and the devil wants to keep him that way. He wants you to think he's always far away and that he's not concerned. And some of us have, you know, the just the shack in a corner of glory mentality, you know, just the shack in heaven mentality. Oh, I'm going to heaven, but there's so many others better than me. I'm just a poor worm wiggling through this world of cares and troubles and woe. Yeah, many church people, you know, they propagate this type of gospel and never allowed you to see yourself as who you really are, as special, as a child of God and loved, the beloved, accepted in the beloved. And oh, yeah, they don't let you see that. I mean, it just keeps you seeing yourself in a negative manner, even though you're born again. I remember in a VA hospital, we're leading a brother to the Lord, a man to the Lord, and as we're sitting there leading him to the Lord, the favor of God surrounded us like a shield because people would walk by our table where we're sitting, and, and curse and mock and make fun, but we were like we were in God-given, a God-given dome that surrounded us and protected us from that. And we led the man to the Lord, and he got saved and went to heaven when he died, right? Hallelujah. So praise, live excited, live expecting miracles to flow, live in expectation. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in expectation to all of his enemies be made his footstool. You know, God in you makes you a success. God in you can make you victorious over the powers of the devil. So what do we need to do? We need to speak in line with God's image of you instead of speaking in line with the devil's image of you, with the demonically created image of you. You need to speak with your mouth in line with the way God sees you, okay? For instance, many feel so outnumbered at their job, at their workplace, and they wake up every day saying, oh, no, going to be another drag to go to work today, and they don't like me. I'm a Christian. They don't want to hear what I have to say, and they'll pick on me or this, that, or the other, and I don't like to be around all that ungodliness and foul-mouthed language and all that. But, hey, instead of saying that, begin to confess that you have favor with the people you work with, and you're going to lead them to the Lord. Hey, begin to confess that you have favor with your boss, the person that you work for. In Jesus' name, I have favor with the boss. I have favor with the people I work for. I have favor with the people I work with. And begin to speak that. Begin to speak in alignment with the Word of God, because the Word of God said he surrounds us with, compasses us as with a shield, with favor. So you're speaking in alignment with the Word. And see, a lot of people, they just don't do that. See, they don't want to be in alignment with the Word. They get in alignment with religion. They get in alignment with what some pastor said they ought to be saying, that they're just a worm, a dog, you know, just glad that you got into heaven and quit your grumbling and about it just because you just barely got in by the skin of your teeth anyway, and you're not worth much anyway, and, you know, all that negative stuff. Anyway, Psalms 115:12, let's read. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, and you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord that made heaven and earth. The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. See, that's where we stand right now. So what are you doing? Are you taking dominion according to this scripture? You know, we need to take dominion in the earth. Wherever the soles of our feet go, we possess it in the name of the Lord. We take back the ground that the devil is trying to claim as his own. We already have his blessing on us. He already gave us the earth. So begin to speak in line with God's word about you and where the earth is concerned and where land is concerned. I mean, quit speaking in alignment with demons and devils. I mean, you've done that long enough, haven't you? I mean, quit parroting what you hear spoken to you in your mind by demons in your mind or spoken on some TV or some person at work that doesn't even know the Lord or that just has a religious spirit. I mean, this is the cause of untold strife, fears, and trouble, okay? By speaking the wrong thing, speaking in alignment with what they hear in their mind. How much strife does that cause in a marriage? How many strifes and disagreements in marriages most often start by the voice in the mind making suggestions that one embraces and starts believing, and then they're trapped in their mind, and they're trapped in this relationship in a way that is a strife-carrying relationship. I mean, don't believe and embrace every thought. Test the thoughts. Examine the thoughts to see whether they're of God, whether they're you, whether they're demons, and find out where they're coming from. Find out where your thoughts are coming from. Don't just blindly accept whatever comes into your mind as real and true, and just speak it out before you even think about speaking. What you're saying, what are you saying, what are you doing, what is coming out, what are you fighting with your husband about, what are you fighting with your wife, your children about, what's going on here, you know, why is this happening, where are these things coming from? Don't just blindly accept whatever comes to your mind as truth, okay? Oh, your wife is conspiring against you and always sneaking around on you, the devil, to tell you, and really hates you. Or your husband is always after other women and always looking at the other women because, you know, he thinks you're ugly and he doesn't love you. And so he's always looking, and you're always jealous and thinking he's looking at the other women when you're not really doing that. I mean, sure, men notice that's a beautiful woman, and you go on. You don't just keep focusing on that, and you just move on because you love your wife, and you're glad you're married to her, and you don't want any other woman, and you don't want to sin, and you don't want to lust. And so, yeah, she's beautiful, moving on. You know, you don't linger. You don't stay there. Keep focusing on that, and don't give place to the devil. See, and you don't give place to strife either. You reassure your wife you love her and let her know how beautiful she is and encourage her that she's the most beautiful woman you've ever known, and you just love her dearly, and on and on and on you go, you know, and you just keep on blessing her, right? Because she's surrounded with favor too, and the Bible says you're joint heirs with Christ, right? Both of you are heirs of eternal life together, right? So you and Christ have what, and your wife, your husband have the same things. I mean, you're all blessed, right? So, amen. Amen. So you got to think that way. You want to build a good relationship. You got to build up your spouse and encourage them. They need encouragement. Encourage them. They need prayer. Pray for them. You know? Instead of always thinking what these demons tell you. Okay? Just say, I bind you, you lying devil. I bind you up in chains and cast you out. So you need to put a stop to wrong thoughts whose intentions are to steal, to kill, and destroy you, your home, your marriage, your children, your job, your health, your finances, your peace, your victory, your faith. I mean, the devils are out to steal, kill, and destroy every way they can. Sometimes they try to steal your inheritance. I'm praying with a woman right now that the enemy is trying to steal her inheritance, that rightfully portion belongs to her, and other siblings are trying to steal it from her. So we praying for her to get what's hers, and the devil will not be successful. Got to believe it, see? Got to believe it, see? Because the devils, face it, the devils are after you. The devils are after me. We face that reality. But instead of them being allowed to win, We go after them and we remove them in Jesus' name. We defeat them in Jesus' name with the word, the blood, and their authority in Christ Jesus, right? And so you know that your weapons of war are greater than Satan's devices that he is using against you right now. And what he seems to try to, be successful in the past, he doesn't have to be successful in that in the future, because you don't have to continue in the same way that you've always walked. You've got to walk in a new way of living, a new kind of life, a life that's higher than the old way. You know, you live like the word is true, not like you just like to like it to be true. No, you live like it is actually true for you, see? Amen. Start living that way. Don't just live like you'd hope it's true. You live like it is true, because it is true, see? You are called, loved, and accepted, and chosen, and beloved, and victorious, and you're called an overcomer. You're called a saint of God and so much more than that. So why don't you just start calling yourself those things? Look in the mirror and say, I'm a saint. Hallelujah. I'm called of God. I'm loved by God. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm chosen. I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. I'm so much more. You could keep on thinking of all the things that the word says about you. You got to think worldly. I mean, worldly, not worldly. Okay? Worldly. You get that? I guess that's a new word, but worldly. Okay, not worldly. You know, too many Christians are thinking worldly. And you need to talk worldly too, not worldly. Okay, act worldly too, not worldly. You know, too many Christians are acting worldly. They don't live in a godly life. They're not living a manifestation of Jesus Christ. They're living a manifestation of the flesh. And Paul said, my flesh is no good thing. So what kind of life are they living? Well, it's not a good one, because the flesh has nothing good to manifest. Okay, so quit speaking doubt and unbelief all day long. What are you doing speaking that stuff? Anyway, speak God's words about you on his favor for you. He has given me favor. He surrounds me as with a shield with his favor. See, words have power and authority over the natural world that we live in today. And see, the words is what the natural world was created by. The word of Jesus. Jesus spoke and it was, see, and by word we can create the world we live in, or we can create a negative world or a positive world, a godly world, or you could create a negative bondage world too by the words you speak with your mouth, because the devil is in the word business. He knows that he can snare you by the words of your mouth. He knows that he could get to you by what you say. Okay? Luke 2:40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Okay? You need to speak this over yourself. The grace of God is upon me. Day in, day out, it's upon my family too. Isaiah 54:10. Let's go over there and read another one. Isaiah 54, verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Hey, listen to me. His kindness is not going to depart from you. Neither shall the covenant of his peace be removed. Listen, we live in perfect peace. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world give it. The world can't give that kind of peace, see? But his peace he gives. See? Listen, his kindness is toward you, people. Ladies, gentlemen, his kindness is toward you. His peace is yours. His word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never means never, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Absolutely it does. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, many of us say, oh, the heavens are a brass. I just can't seem to get through in my prayer life. God surely doesn't hear my prayers. Well, really, you just spoke what the devil's wanted you to say. They just got you to stay where you're at, stuck in the demon control zone. Yeah, the heavens are not brass. The Bible says that ears of the Lord are open to the prayers of the righteous. Well, I just can't seem to get through in my prayer life. Well, that's not in alignment with the word. That's worldly talk. Is that what God's word says about your prayer life? Where did you get that information from? Give me the chapter and verse. Okay, you can't find it. It's not in there, folks. You know, God says his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous, and that's me. I'm the righteous. That's you. You're the righteous. If you're born again today, you're the righteous. His ears are open to your prayers. Well, I'm not righteous. Well, who said that? Give me the chapter verse for that. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus according to God's word. That's what the word of God says. So when are you going to start talking according to the word and stop talking according to the world and the flesh and the devil? You got to get your voice in alignment with what the word says. I'm telling you, this is so important because it's a battle every day of your life to speak the right things and not speak the negative things. This is an ongoing battle, and you'll fight it till the day you leave this world or Jesus comes back, whichever comes first. The Bible says that if he's in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See, when you're talking like the unbeliever, you're yoking yourself to the unbelieving world. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? If you're speaking unrighteous talk, what are you doing fellowshipping with the unrighteous? And what communion has light with darkness? What are you doing speaking darkness? What business do you have getting your voice in alignment, you know, with the darkness, and same with the darkest planning in your mind? What business did you have? What right do you have to be talking that way? Sure, you have a will and you have a choice, and you're allowed to do that if you want to, but it's only going to bring you into bondage. And most people just think, well, this is talking about being married to an unbeliever. Well, no, it's also talking about yoking yourself to any kind of unbelieving garbage, okay? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, and their talk and their ungodliness. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Do you have fellowship with unrighteousness? We shouldn't be fellowshipping with unrighteousness. We should be fellowshipping with righteousness and truth and that which is pure, that which is holy, that which is just, that which is a good report. You know, the things that it talks about in Philippians 4:8, those are the things we should be communing with and having fellowship. What communion is light with darkness? We don't commune with darkness. We commune with light. And how come so many Christians have a communion with their demons? That's darkness. They're communing with the darkness. Why are they doing that? Why are they communing with people that are controlled by the darkness? Why do they set themselves in alignment with people that are controlled by the darkness? What's going on there? You can't have the ungodly for your best friend. They'll take you down. Okay? They'll take you down. But notice it's called, they're called the unrighteous. If they're called the unrighteous, then you must be the righteous, right? Get up and look in the mirror and ignore what you look like and speak what God says about you. You're royalty, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the kings and priests, right? Man, I have God's favor on me today. Just confess that in the mirror in the morning when you get up. If you can't hardly believe it, then you got to look at yourself when you say it. Look at yourself when you say it. Get a hand mirror. Put it in front of your face and say it. I am blessed. I am going to have a blessed day in Jesus' name. You start declaring what the word says over yourself every day. I am a king and a priest. I go and I possess the land that I walk on today in Jesus' name. And I take the ground in Jesus' name. You know, hey. What are you going to start rejecting the negative that people speak over you and that you've spoken over yourself? You know, if you expect to be kicked around and mistreated, then that's what's going to happen to you. But if you expect to walk in God's favor, hey, you will walk in it. And you're going to remember that God abides in you. I mean, this is very important to you, and you never forget this. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you say, well, I'm so alone. I just feel so alone. Oh, at work, I'm the only Christian. Oh, is that so? What's the Bible say about that? There'd be more with us than there'd be with them. Remember that scripture? There'd be more with us than there is with them. You might be at work, and it may not look like anybody with you, but you've got a whole group of angels there with you. As you have need of them, they're there, right? Okay, John 14:23. What does it say? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So you're not alone right there. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are dwelling there through the Holy Spirit. So you're not alone. I see three there. And plus all the angels that you need right there. I mean, think about that. I mean, look, who is with you? You're not alone. God Almighty lives in you. You have a counselor, a comforter living in you. Wonderful counselor, a comforter when you have need of comfort. Are you needing comfort today? Well, start taking some. The comforter is there. He'll comfort you. He'll comfort you if you let him. But you could feel sorry for yourself. You could have a pity party. You could live in unforgiveness if you want to. God gave you a will. He gave you a choice. He's not going to force anybody to live in these kind of blessings. After all, who would want to live like this kind of a blessing anyway, huh? Wouldn't you rather just be miserable? Wouldn't you just rather have no joy in your life? Wouldn't you rather just be poor and beat down and just a mess all your life? Really? But no, I'm going to walk with a counselor. I'm going to walk with a comforter. I'm going to walk with the joy of the Lord, the peace of God that passes understanding. I'm going to become spirit conscious instead of flesh conscious, you know. So many people are so flesh conscious, that's all they can look at is their nasty flesh. And so they, no wonder they perform a fleshly life and live a fleshly lifestyle, because that's all they're ever looking at is their flesh. And no good thing dwells in their flesh. So what kind of performance would you expect out of that? It sure isn't performance by the Holy Spirit. It's a performance of the flesh. It's a manifestation of the flesh. Who wants that kind of manifestation? Okay? Hey, you have a proof and a guarantee of God's favor on you. Think about it. The Holy Spirit, the guarantee of your salvation, the guarantee. See? I mean, listen. I mean, let's get this. 2 Corinthians. Let's go back there. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. Look at verse 14, where we were. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with the devil? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And this is our reality right now. He's our God. He's dwelling in us right now. We are the temple of the living God, as it said in verse 16. God shall dwell in you and walk in you. Okay? And that means, hey, he walks with you wherever you go. Is the Holy Spirit just a hitchhiker, hitchhiking through this life with you, just an added weight on your life? No. Absolutely, he's not an added weight on your life. He's the blessing on your life. So, he's not just the added weight. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's the one that brings you through the troubled waters, the difficulties of life. Amen. confess God's love and favor in spite of the circumstances. Oh, yeah, they might not change right away, but you know what? You can move into a spiritual realm of victory that make the circumstances fade away. Amen. You can walk into a place where the supernatural manifestations of God will take place. You can live in that place. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. That's who he is, and he's living in you. I remember we were driving in the Garden of the Gods in Colorado one time, and down near Colorado Springs, you've heard of the Garden of the Gods probably. I put on my seatbelt. I mean, we were going 50, 60 miles an hour through downtown Manitou Springs and then into the Garden of God, driving at 60 and 70 miles an hour around the curves and everything. This guy, I tell you what, he was a character. And he was a Christian brother, all right, but boy, he did not know how to drive slow. Some people would have been panicking and freaking out. And I just praying and believing God, it's going to be all right. God is with me. But this guy's driving the craziest driving I've ever ridden with. And he's driving so fast and so wild. And he wasn't even concerned about the police stopping him for speeding. Cause he's just going whatever speed he felt like going, super fast, super fast. And here we are driving in this, I think it was a Ford Taurus or something, but man, we're just driving so fast in that car through the middle of downtown Manitou Springs, then back out into the Garden of the Gods, just driving so, so fast. But you know what? Jesus was with me. I survived it. We didn't have any wreck. We're just fine. And hey, I'm not saying there's not going to be any storms in life and nothing that will ever cross your path. You know, I've been in the storms and I've been in the troubles of this life when it looked like, man, it's time to just give up and we can't go another step. It's so intense. It's so intense. I mean, man, how do they get that intense? But I've been through that. But, you know, I don't let go of Jesus. That's the key. You don't let go of what the Word says. You don't let go. Even when you're sick as a dog, by his stripes I'm healed. Even when the body is manifesting all kinds of junk. Thank you, Lord, you are my healer. And you said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Even when the sorrows seem overwhelming, thank you, God, you're bringing me through this. I'm going to come out on the other side and I'm going to shine greater and brighter and stronger. Thank you, Jesus. See, something on the inside of you just rise up in the middle of this stuff. Oh, glory be to God. That Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is living in me, and God Almighty rises up and takes me through the rivers, takes me through the fire, takes me through the water, takes me through the flood. Oh, yeah. And it, oh, man, yeah, we've seen all kinds of trouble. Like the old song, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Yeah, Jesus knows. I know. My wife knows. But most people don't know, you know. And they don't know what you've been through. But you know what? Jesus will bring you through them, right? He brings you through those troubles. You don't have to stay in that junk. You don't have to stay bound up by what the demons bring your way, the attacks they send against your life. You don't have to stay in that pit of darkness all your life. You got the Word to bring you out. You got the power of God to bring you out. See? So I've been in these situations where only God could bring me out of them, and only God did bring me out of them. Hallelujah. Yeah. There's no way in the world, in the natural, that things could work. But God, see, brings you through them. He brings you through them. Amen. Quit looking at the outward appearance. Quit looking at the world. Quit looking at all these other things, the circumstances, the situation. Look at the Word of God. I remember that I was with a company. We were trying to solve some legal cases for people. I was traveling around and going to try to do that, to help people get these things settled, and went to one man's house. He was going to kill me. That's right. He was going to kill me. I was there to help settle a legal case and to help stand for the company and do whatever we could to make that man happy. But he was ready to kill me because I represented the company. He was ready to kill me. And he told me he was going to kill me. And except for the grace of God, I would have been dead. But see, the power of God was there, and he didn't kill me. See? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He could bring you through that stuff, folks. Hallelujah. He can bring you through. You got to trust him. See, outside of God being in us, we're nothing. But we do have God in us. See, you know, he is in us, so we're something, right? Because he made us something. It's not we made ourselves anything. God made us something. God made us accepted in the beloved. God said we're more than conquerors through him that loves us. God declared these things over us. We didn't declare them over ourselves. If we had declared them over ourselves, it would have been worthless if we didn't have the word. If we didn't have Jesus declaring them as truth over ourselves, then we can get our voice in alignment with his voice. See, whatever Jesus says about me, that's what I got to say about myself. That's what you got to say about yourself. If you're saying contrary to what Jesus says about yourself, then you've got an open door to the degree that you're saying contrary to what Jesus is saying about you. But if you're saying contrary to that, you have an open door for devils to attack you and even get inside of you and set up household in there because you're speaking in alignment with the devils and instead of in alignment with Jesus. And that's very important that you speak in alignment with Jesus, folks. Amen? Hallelujah, see? So if we thought that all this power and glory were of ourselves, well, we'd get proud. But you know what? It's not of ourselves. It's because of who's in us. See, thank God that he's in us and he's given us a greater revelation of what he's doing in us. See, look what it says in 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us, what did it say? Sometimes, maybe, if you're lucky. No, that word has to do with the devil. We don't luck anything, okay? It says, thank be unto God, which, oh, if you just have a good day, causes you to triumph. No, it didn't say that. It says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Did you hear that? God will always cause you to triumph in Christ if you'll say what the word says, believe what the word says about you. Always. And make us the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. See? Make it manifest, the savor. He will manifest himself, the savor, the flavor, the presence, the power, the glory of God in all these places that we go, wherever we go. If we desire that to come forth, it will come forth up out of us and manifest always. Okay? The Bible says that people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. See, they got to know their God. They got to know who God is. They got to know who God is in them as well. If you don't know who God is in you, then you really don't know God, because you can't know who God is unless you know who God is inside of you as well. See, that's part of the package. See, the people who know their God and know who God is in them shall be strong and do exploits. The wimps of the devil will go on being deceived and deceiving others. Biden and his gang of thugs, I mean, they're just all deceiving and deceiving themselves. They've been deceived by the devil, and they're deceiving each other and trying to deceive the whole world, and they're deceived themselves. And they're just going to get darker and darker. That's what the Bible says. They're going to get more wicked and wicked until the day. But, you know, things are winding down in this world. But you know what? We are being trained for the millennium, where we're going to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. Over this earth, and then we're going to rule and reign throughout eternity. I mean, you're training for reigning, right? That's what you are. You're training for reigning with God forever. Not only then, but you can reign on in life through one Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Romans, you reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Do you believe that about yourself? Are you reigning in life, or can you say, oh, life is reigning over me? You beat me up bad, man. That's what a lot of believers say. Man, life is just beat me up. They come to church on Sunday and they just tell about all the bad the devil's done all week. That's not what we're supposed to go to church for, okay? To just tell what the devil's done all week. No. Okay? So more than, you know, you can imagine is ahead of you. I mean, the life that's ahead of you is awesome. The life that's ahead of you is awesome, people. Are you just hearing what I'm saying to you? Training for reigning with God forever, but the life that more than you can imagine, see, is ahead for you. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what the Lord has for them that love him. Do you love the Lord today? Do you love him, really love him? Well, then look what's ahead for you, man. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has for them that love him. It says, love him. Some of you are living in an ungodly, worldly sorrow. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 7:10. I want to show you some things. Hopefully the Lord will give you revelation on it. 2 Corinthians 7:10. There are two kinds of sorrows. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. See, two kinds of sorrows. Some of you as a Christian are living in ungodly, worldly sorrow. The worldly sorrow worked death in you. This is the sorrow that could come when you refuse to forgive. That's one of the ways this sorrow can come. Another way it could be you just be stuck in sorrow, see, and it's a worldly sorrow that takes over your life and works death in you and opens doors to demons, see. But the godly sorrow, hallelujah, thank God for godly sorrow, it causes repentance. It causes you to have the grace to forgive those who have wronged you and not to pick up demons of bitterness and keep deaths. It keeps death from working in you because unforgiveness is death working in you if you stay there in and out of unforgiveness. Godly sorrow receives forgiveness and forgives, and the sorrow will end. Okay? It will end. It will not continue, but worldly sorrow, it keeps on. It makes you keep it day after day, year after year. You have death working in you, and you die with remorse, carrying remorse till you die. Remorse is a demon, too. I mean, know that remorse is a spirit, too. And that remorse comes in and becomes a strong man in your life. Unforgiveness becomes a strong man in your life, and these spirits just rule in your life, see? But if you let godly sorrow do its work, then, hey, that brings life and causes you to have grace, grace to forgive. Grace, it works repentance to salvation, to life, not to death, not to be, that's something we want. We want that life of God living in us. He says, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly, abundant life. That's what he's calling is for each of us, is to live in the abundant life, not the unabundant life, the devil's life that steals, kills, and destroys. That, he didn't call you to live in that. That's not your calling, even though a lot of Christians live that way, choose to live that way because they just choose to be ignorant of the promises of God and choose to let the devil have his way with them instead of letting God have his way and the truth have its way with you. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, worldly sorrow, you got to keep that. And it's going to build day after day, year after year, and it'll eat you up, okay? It'll eat you up. And you'll die with remorse. Quit hiding things within yourself. Cover-ups. A lot of Christians have cover-up going on. Cover-ups. Cover-ups is something the world has. A lot of cover-ups. They're covering all kinds of wickedness up. They're covering up what they do. They're covering up what they say. They're covering up, so cover-up. That's the devil, see? That's the devil. You need to face your sin. Confess it and let it go. Let the blood remove it. Yeah, and then live in the peace. The path is understanding. I mean, God removed your sin. He cleanses you from all sin and all unrighteousness. That means all unrighteousness, everything that's been covered up, everything that's been hidden away that even you're not aware of. That the devil's tried to hide it away from you, but God cleanses you from all unrighteousness, see? Oh, yeah. Did Adam and Eve hide? Some of you have some great cover-ups going on. Yeah, that have snared you and caused you to live in bondage, even remorse and unforgiveness. Did Adam and Eve hide anything? Did they have a great cover-up? Yeah, of course they did. Yeah, they hid. They covered themselves up. They tried to hide from God. Are you blaming somebody else like Adam and Eve were? Well, it's a serpent who deceived me, Eve said. Adam said, it was the woman you gave me. You know, blaming God. See, it hadn't changed. People are blaming God for all kinds of things today. And they still keep doing it. And I'm talking about Christian people, people who have even walked with God. Adam and Eve walked with God. In the cool of the evening, they walked with God out there naked and unashamed. That's right. They didn't even see their nakedness. They didn't see it till they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, and that's a problem with eating of the tree of knowledge and evil. It mess you up, see? And that it messed them up. And a lot of Christians quit eating of the tree of life, and they take the substitute of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and it doesn't do them any good. But they think it's God because it seems to be good at times, and they live from the good of the tree whenever they can. And they think it's God, but it's not. It's the wrong tree. It's not the tree of righteousness. It's not the tree of life. It's the tree of death because it brought death on Adam and Eve when they ate of it, right? They started dying that very moment. Spiritually, they did die. Their bodies started dying too. the moment they ate, but they lived 900 years. But so they were still dying. They still died, okay? And then life got shorter and shorter as the years went on. But anyway, what are we talking about here? Do you hide things within yourself? Well, let the blood of Jesus cleanse it all away. See? Oh, God, it's your fault this happened to me. You know, and like Adam, you know, blaming God, the woman whom you gave me. You gave me this woman. Well, she was a knockout. She was the most beautiful thing he'd ever laid eyes on, yet now he's going to use that. Everything changed now that he ate of a tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? It's that woman you gave me. That woman. How many men have said that? Blame their wife for things. How many women blame the devil for things? You know, it was the serpent who deceived me. Yeah, that's what he said. God, it's your fault this happened to me. I sinned because of you, God. If you hadn't given me that woman, I wouldn't have done it. Well, he might not have done it, but you know what? He did it because somewhat because of her, because the Bible said she gave to her husband with her. He was standing right there. He willfully did it. Guess he didn't want to lose his wife. Whatever happened to her, going to happen to me, he said. But really? But anyway, you choose to be a negative when you're negative and reject God's truth about yourself. You can't go to bed dirty, though, and expect to wake up clean. That's why the Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You go into bed angry at night, holding aught against somebody. You go into bed that way. You go into bed mad at your spouse. You go into bed mad at somebody at work. You go into bed mad at God. You go into bed that way. You're not going to wake up clean if you go to bed that way. If you go to bed dirty, you're going to wake up dirty. Right? You could choose to go to bed dirty and not deal with things in your life. But you leave your anger, your strife, your sin at the altar. And then go to bed clean, and you wake up clean. And we're clean by the blood of Jesus, even though we still may have some demons in the flesh. Our spirit's clean, you know, and we got cleaned up by the blood of Jesus. But anyway, your spirit doesn't sin. It's your soul that sins in the first place anyway. But this is telling you, you'll start the next day with the garbage that you took to bed with you. Okay, is what I'm trying to tell you. The night before, you took that anger to bed, it'll mess with you all night long. Okay, you might even have an open door for demons to come in, additional demons. Okay, you take that unforgiveness to bed with you, guess what? It'll mess with you all night long. Where sin abounds, though grace much more abounds, you got to remember that. When sin tries to abound in your life, guess what's there? Grace can abound if you let it. If you let it, you got to let it. You got to give permission to grace to abound. Okay? And you got to recognize, we walk by faith. Every day is a walk of faith, okay? You know, which you got to decide which kind of faith you're going to walk. Sense, knowledge, or real heart believing faith. Which one do you have right now? You're just walking by your sense knowledge? That isn't going to do anything for you. It's got to be you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. You know, that I am a king and a priest. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, that's a heart faith, not a sense knowledge. A lot of people have a sense knowledge. They'll say some things, but they don't believe it, not really. They don't believe it. Uh-uh. And you got to pray according to God's word, not according to your feelings. You know, a lot of people praying according to their feelings, and they're just getting nothing but nothing. Okay, yeah, people, you know, they try something once. And it doesn't work, and so they give up, and nothing happened right away, so I guess God doesn't hear my prayers. You ever said stuff like that? You know, hey, Bible says faith and patience gets it. That's right. Faith and patience gets the promises of God. By faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. So listen, you just have faith, but no patience, you're not going to get it. Because there are times you're just going to have to stand in faith and believe and believe and believe and not let the devil steal that faith, see? And then they go around saying faith don't work because it didn't happen right away the first time I prayed about something. And nothing happened. Doesn't work for me. God's not listening to my prayer. You know, start that whining stuff again of the flesh. Man. Anyway. Hallelujah. I went to that church and it didn't work. I heard that, but it didn't work. I tried that deliverance. It didn't work. I tried that tithing and nothing changed. We don't try faith. We don't try healing. We don't try tithing. No, no. You know, we walk in it. We live in it. We just do it. It's just part of our lives. Listen, I've been tither for, I can't count the years. It's been so long now. And I know that's just me. You know, I'm a tither. That's my nature. I tithe, you know. And I believe healing. That's my nature. I believe it. By his stripes, I'm healed. I don't just, well, I hope I'm healed. No, we just live in it. We don't try it. We walk in it. You know, God showed me that the other night for somebody. Just tell them to walk in it. Just walk in it. You know, what does that mean? Just walk in it. That's what God said to tell you. That's what I told them. You know, you don't have to pray about what God said already to do. Just do it. See? Just do it. You know? Oh, man. I was sharing with a fella one week, and all he could talk about, you know, was how this minister and that minister, just all they're doing is ever asking for money. That's all they ever do, you know. Just excuses to keep him from living from God. You know, these excuses were just demons talking through him, and he was giving place to those demons. Hey, listen, if you don't want to give, don't give. You don't have to give. Nobody's twisting your arm to give. I never twist anybody's arm to give. I never tell people they have to give. That's their choice. If you want to give your tithe to God, this is a channel you can give them to God through, okay? If you don't want to give your tithe to God, that's between you and God. You're the one who has to answer to God. But it said, will a man rob God? I wouldn't want to rob God. Okay, by keeping back your tithes and offering, you are robbing God because they never belong to you anyway. You may think they're yours. Well, I went out there and worked for them. It's mine. It's all mine. And I'm going to spend it the way I want to. Well, that's fine. You can. There'll be, you know, be a curse on your finances that way because you're robbing God. I wouldn't dare do that. Anyway, put the word first, and it will solve all your marriage problems. Really? I mean, all my marriage problems can be solved by the word? All of them can be solved by the word, but most people are not going to walk in the word in their marriage completely. Okay? They've got get self in the way, and they get other things in the way, and they get themselves centered. And but, you know, most problems in the marriage is caused by selfishness and demons anyway. Yeah, people want their own way, you know, and they don't want to give in to the other person's way, or their curses on their marriage because they were cursed on their parents' marriage. Then the curses keep going, okay? Act and obey the word of God. Act like the word of God is true in your life. See, if you're not acting like the word is true, then the word isn't true for you. But if the word is true, then you're going to act like it's true. If you know that you have money in the bank and you know that money's available, you're going to act like you have money in the bank, and you're going to write that check. You're going to draw that money out. When you need to buy something, you'll use that debit card. You'll go buy what you want to buy, you know, because you know you have that money in the bank, see? And you're going to act like you have it. Well, see, we've got money in the heavenly bank. We've got blessing, in other words, in the heavenly bank. We're already blessed. So just start acting like the blessing is there. Live like the blessing is there. Just like you're going to act, if you have $1 million in the bank, you're going to act like that $1 million is there. You're going to use it. You're going to use that debit card. You're going to write that check. Well, we're going to write the check on heaven. We know it's there. We know that we're blessed of the Lord. We know we're surrounded with favor as with a shield. We know that we're blessed going in and coming out. We know that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. We know we have all these promises, so many, many, many promises of God, that we are so, so blessed. So we're just going to act like we are, because we are. You're going to act like you are because you really are. And you're acting that way because you are, not because you hope you're going to be, not because, well, I think that this is what the Bible says I should do. No, no, you got to get it down by revelation knowledge that this is what you are and who you are and what you got, and you got to live that way, see? See, if Jesus said you is healed and you say it don't work, what are you doing? You're telling God he's a liar. See, he's slapping God in the face and calling him a liar. You're going to do that to God? I don't want to do that to God. You know, have the I can do all things through Christ mindset. That's the mindset you got to have. I can do all things. I can have all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. See, I can through Christ Jesus. See, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Jesus, 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 the name above every name. It's above every name. The Bible says the name of Jesus is above every name. It's above your problem. It's above the problem that you're naming your situation, that your marriage strife, your marriage problem, your marriage division, your child problem that you have with your child, your rebellious child. The name of Jesus is above that. It's going to bow to it. It's got to bow to it in Jesus' name. It's got to bow to it. Now, this person has a will and they have a choice. You can't cross their will and make them get saved. You know, they have a choice. If they want to go to hell, they can go to hell, right? But you're going to make it very hard for them to go to hell. See, because you're going to send the Holy Spirit. You're going to send the angels into to battle on the behalf of this person. And they're going to set up every situation, the circumstance they can for that person to get saved and be in places and face people that are going to speak things into their life. And they're going to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. All kinds of things are going to happen. So every opportunity possible will come to them that they can get saved. And if they still reject God, it's on them, and they've made their choice. But if they're your family member, you can claim them. You and your house shall be saved, though. Anyway, all the names of devils, Jesus' name is above them all. Start living that way. Start believing that way. Start living in expectation. Divine expectation is what you're called to live in. Jesus is living in expectation right now. Why can't you live in expectation of the realities that can come forth in your life if you do? Huh? Come on, saints. I'm talking to you today. I'm talking to you with the word today. I'm talking word talk. I'm talking in heavenly languages here. Okay? Heavenly language that the world don't understand these things. Okay? But we can understand them because we have the Spirit of God. We have the mind of Christ in us. We can understand that which the world doesn't understand, right? We can understand spiritual mysteries, the mysteries of the heavens, the mysteries of the kingdom, because we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, do you think it knows the mysteries of the kingdom? Absolutely. So if we are able to tap in spiritually to the spiritual mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ is a spiritual mind, if you could tap into that spiritually and you begin to hook up the line, right? Hook up that, plug it into your mind, plug it into your spirit, out of your spirit, and the Spirit of God in you, that is, and plug it in, and you can begin to download some spiritual realities, right, from the mind of Christ, the mysteries of the kingdom. What did Jesus do? This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. That would be you and I, folks. That's good news, man. I'm bringing good news to you tonight, folks. Good news. You don't have to stay beat down. You don't have to stay unloved. You are loved greatly by the Father. He gave all for you that you might be in part of his kingdom, that you might be accepted in the beloved in Christ Jesus, that you might be one with Christ Jesus. The Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. We've been made one spirit with the Lord if we've been born again. Whatever Jesus has is ours. Is Jesus up there just scraping around heaven looking for a little mouse to kill and eat that mouse, or scraping around looking for a little piece of a dead bug or something he could eat? No, just, you know, scruffing around up there looking for a piece of food, hoping he can find something? No, the Bible says the righteous should not, and his seed of the righteous and will not be begging bread. Okay? So we're not going to be around scratching around looking for a little piece of morsel of food or something. No, if he has to get a raven, you know, like it did Elijah, he's going to get one and bring you something, a juicy steak or something, whatever necessary. I mean, listen, God will take care of you. What is it going to take you to get that? How much is it going to take to get that inside? We get out our diamond bit drill, drill on your mind. What's it going to take to get this reality in your spirit? What's it going to take to get these words of life down into you where you believe them instead of just, well, I heard that. No. We need to do more than hear it. We need to, you know, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. See, if we don't live like it's true, then we don't believe it's true. You hear what I'm saying? If we don't live like it's true, we don't believe it works. We don't believe it's true, see? That's what I'm talking to you tonight. You got to live like the word is real. You got to live like it's true. You got to act it out like it's a reality, okay? See, there's a big difference between, yeah, I believe that. I heard that. And, no, I'm acting it out. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm, you know, my body is recovered in Jesus' name. And you start acting it. You start walking like it's the reality of your life, see? Oh, my. Okay. Well, anyway, that's all I got to share tonight. I could go on and on. Father, we thank you for this powerful word tonight. Thank you for your presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I feel your anointing. I sense your anointing. Lord, I believe that I deliver the word under your anointing and from your anointing, Father, by the power of your Spirit within me. It's not me that live, but Christ. So I'm manifesting you tonight to your people because you want to speak to them these truths, these realities, these spiritual life-giving words, Lord, that will make a change in their life. They don't have to live the same old way they used to live, the same old way since they've been born. Don't have to put up with those same old demons anymore. But how many do? But Lord, it doesn't have to be. Bring revelation knowledge. Bring deliberation by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, and deliverance. Praise you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for quickening by the Holy Spirit, the quickening to make it alive of your word to us in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for spiritual breakthrough, spiritual revelation, Father. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the grace to forgive the ungodly, Lord, to forgive even the righteous, because I know some of the righteous have been so hurtful and painful and doing things that hurt so bad over the years of 40 years of pastoring. I mean, 39 years, whatever it is, 39 or 40 now. Oh, man, we've seen so much, and we've felt so much. But by the grace of God, you brought us through it all. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you called us to be able to forgive even the most unrighteous acts and the most evil acts. Thank you for that. And the most horrible things, Father, we've been able to forgive. Thank you for that forgiveness, Lord, and give that grace to others who listen to broadcasts. Help them to forgive horrible acts, horrible words, horrible things that have been done. Give them the grace to forgive, Father. And sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes we even need deliverance for unforgiveness so that we can forgive. And, Lord, we can do some of that tonight, Father, in a few minutes. We give you the glory for that. Give you the praise. If there's somebody you need to forgive right now, just do it. Just do it. Say, I know they don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it either. But, Lord, by the grace of God, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive this person. I choose to forgive this group of people. I choose to forgive this minister or whatever it may be. In Jesus' name, I choose. And I do, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's it. Yeah. Keep on. If you have to do it 100 times, do it. Amen. Until you finally release them and you've forgiven them. And you no longer carry that burden any longer. Bless you, folks. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for each and every one of them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll do some deliverance tonight. If you're up for some, we'll do some. And if not, you don't have to listen to it. But we're here, and we're going to do some. So you can be a part of it, or you cannot be. We'll be back.
To find something.
Okay. We rebuke that spirit of unforgiveness. Amen. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You got to go. All that spirit of unforgiveness, we're talking to you right now. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Come out of there. It's so easy to hold on to unforgiveness. I'm telling you. If you're in a relationship with somebody, it's difficult sometimes. You know, things don't always go like heaven. How many know that? I don't know any heavenly marriages. I've counseled marriages for, 40 years now. And I haven't met one that's heavenly all the time that never has any problem. I haven't met anybody like that, okay? So you got to learn to forgive if you're going to be married. And forgive all the time. 70 times 7 sometime in one day, right? I mean, it's talking unlimited forgiveness, right? You got to forgive your mate. You got to forgive people. Otherwise, how are you going to get along? So in order to forgive, some people need to get that spirit of unforgiveness out. So let's cast that out. In Jesus' name, we command that spirit of unforgiveness. Come out. 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 Come on. All that unforgiving spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Come out of there all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus is against you, spirit. Now you come out of there. All that unforgiving devils, I bind you. Come out. Makes it hard for you to forgive. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them, loose them, loose them, and let them go. Come on, loose them and loose them and loose them and let them go. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. All those unforgiving demons, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, all the way out, up and out of there. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Come out, unforgiveness. But it's so hard to forgive, Pastor. You don't know what they've done to me. Yeah, well, you know, I know what they've done to me over the years, and I've forgiven. If I could do it, I'm no better than you, right? And you're no better than me, and we're all, you know, in Christ Jesus, right? So we could do all things through Christ if, what? Who gives us the ability to do them, right? And so he gives you the grace to forgive. Grace, that's great grace, man. I'm telling you, great grace. You could do it through Christ. That's the only way. All right. Thank you, Lord, for delivering from that unforgiving spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Any spirit that has caused remorse in your life, you come out. The spirit of remorse, come out. Remorse. Come out, remorse, come out, remorse, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all that remorse, in Jesus' name, come out of there, all the way out, go, 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 come out, come out, come out, come out, remorse, in the name of Jesus right now, loose them and let them go, all that remorse, gotta go, gotta go. All the way out, that loveless spirit, you come out, loveless, make you feel loveless, that you don't have any love in your life, make you feel like a loveless person, that you don't feel love, you don't feel like you can love anybody else, that loveless spirit, we rebuke that loveless spirit in the name of Jesus, go right now, that lovelessness, come out, that loveless spirit, I am not loved. That spirit that tells you I am not loved, that don't believe that you are loved. Come out, that loveless spirit, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Come out, 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 come out. That loveless spirit. All right, tells you that you're not lovable and you're not loved and you don't have any love to give and and nobody loves you. Come out. All the way out. Come on, all that loveless spirit. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. And you're not lovable. Come out. All the way out. We rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. Come out, 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 out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Up and out, up and out, up and out of there. All the way out. All the way out of there. Keep going. All that lovelessness, come out. That loveless spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus against you right now. All the way out. All that loveless spirit, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Up and out of there. All the way out. All the way out. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, that are cons in this world, and a lot of Christians are cons. Okay, so we just command that con spirit right now, that con man spirit, con woman spirit. This one, I remember one that recently tried to con us. It was a woman, okay, and claimed to be a great Christian and a leader and all this in her church. But we command that con woman and that con man spirit to come out of people. In Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out. All those con man spirits, those con woman spirits, come out, come out, come out. Conning people, tricking people, deceiving people, conning them, go all the way out. We rebuke those spirits right now. Go in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus against those con man spirits, those con woman spirits. Go in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. All the way out. Marital demons, the marriage-breaking demons, marital demon, trouble demons, come out of there. Those spirits that are troubling the marriage, come out. Those troubling marriage demons right now, come out. Come out. Marriage-breaking, marriage-troubling spirits, come out. Come out. Come out of there. Marriage troubling, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Marriage troubling. Strife, come out. Come out. Marital strife, come out. Come out. Marital division, come out. 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 That division spirit, that divisive spirit. Relational division, come out. Come out. Relational division, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Those divisive spirits, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out of there, up out of there, up out of there. Go, 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 go. We break the spirit of curse. If you've been divorced, we break the curse of divorce over you and from operating ever again in your life. That spirit of divorce, the curse of divorce, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Curse of divorce in Jesus' name. You come out of there right now. Go, 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 go. Up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out. All the way out. All that divorce spirit, curse of divorce. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Curse of divorce. I bind you. I break your hold over people. Come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go. 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 Come out of there. Up and out. Loose them and let them go. The curse of divorce. In Jesus' name, marital curse of divorce. Don't you say that in your marriage. I'm just going to divorce you. I mean, you know, just stop saying those words. Don't give place to those demons. The curse of divorce will try to come back in if they leave and then start saying that to your spouse. You get upset or troubled or whatever. We break those curses right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Where do you think the devil wants to hit people anyway? In their relationships, he can tear you down, wear you out, cause you to live a struggling life, see, because of your relationship. So where do you think he wants to hit you? Of course, first in the most close people to you, your husband, your wife, your children, your relatives, the people you work with. He's always looking to, you know, cause some strife or division or struggle there with people that, you know, that you're close to, you, that you know, that you love, you care about. We bind the devil for that. We bind him from bringing division. We bind him from bringing strife. We bind him from bringing separation, and those spirits have to go in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind you for it, devil. You go right now. Go. Get out of there. Go. 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 Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. You know, I think that Christians can have a country western spirit, as I've heard a number of Christians listen to country and western music. So we just command that country and western. Yeah, right. You lost your girlfriend, your dog, your pickup truck, and I'm just gonna, having a down out day. Come out of there, that country and western spirit. You know, you come out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out of there. All that country and bondage to country and western music. Come out. Bondage to that type of mentality poor me, you know. My woman left me, my man done cheated on me, and come out, all the way out, all that country western devil demon, come out, all the way out of there, all the way up out of there, go, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out, all the way up out of there, come out in Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out. Come out of you, all the way out. Come out of there, all the way up out of there. Some people clinging to their rock music. Yeah. We command that old godly rock music, and the rock music that you're clinging to and holding on to those CDs and whatever in your home, and will not get rid of your collection. That collection could be a snare to your soul, right? So we just command that rock music demon to go. All that rock music demon, in Jesus' name, come out. Come out, come out, come out, all ungodly music. Classical's got a load of demons in it too, which I didn't used to think that, but now I know that that is true because I did some looking into that. So all those music demons, come out of there, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. All those music devils, ungodly music devils, come out in Jesus' name. Music manipulation devils that manipulate your mind through music, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, backward masking through music. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that mind manipulation, go, 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 go. We break you out of the mind trap through music as well. Come out of there, all the way out. Mind manipulation through music. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Out, 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 all the way out, that mind manipulation through music. The Lord is saying to you today, I will make you strong if you will let me make you strong. I will make you the man or woman of God that I want you to be if you'll let me make you that person. Will you allow me? I want to do these things in your life, but many times it is the people who have blocked me from doing the things that I desire to do in them. And the Lord says, will you allow me to do these things? Will you let me be God inside of you? Will you let me be the God that I am and manifest who I am inside of you? Yes, it is time. The Lord said, it's time. What are you waiting for? It's time for you to let me rise up big inside of you. It's time for me to show myself strong on your behalf. What are you waiting for? Won't you allow this to take place? Won't you let me do and be who I am inside of you? What is the problem? Why are you holding back? What are you holding on to that would cause you to hold back? Examine yourself. Examine yourself today and no longer keep me from you like you have been. Well, some of you facing some things that you really don't know what to do. And I'm telling you, my child, I'm telling you that I have all the answers you need. If you draw nigh to me and you'll get your answers, you draw nigh to me, you draw close to me and you will get your answers. I have what you need. I have what you need, but you're just remaining too far away. You're just remaining too far away, and I'm telling you, you don't have to be that far away. I want you close to me, he said. I want you close, the Lord said. Yeah, draw nigh. I will not deny you. I will not keep you away from me. Come near. I love you. come near to me, he said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anything else, Lord, tonight? Yes, someone listening to the broadcast, someone that's listening, you're facing a decision. You have to make a decision. The Lord is saying that he wants you to ask again in Jesus' name and cover the answer, everything with the blood of Jesus, and whatever stands out the strongest to you is going to be from him. That's what he said, ask again. You've already asked. Yeah, I just not, but the Lord says, ask again, covering it with the blood of Jesus in Jesus' name, and whatever stands out the strongest in your spirit, okay, will be from him. Okay, that's your answer that you've been waiting for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is saying that some of you have some walls that you put up to him. And he's saying, won't you let me pass that wall? You've got the walls of damage in your life. The Lord says the walls of damage. You've been damaged emotionally. You've been damaged in your mind. You've been damaged. And the Lord is saying that he wants you to let him buy those walls that you have even allowed the devil to create some of those walls. You've got an agreement with the devil and the hurt and the pain and the sorrow and the difficulties. And you've gotten an agreement with those. And you, together with the enemy, have built those walls that even would keep the Lord from penetrating and going where he wants to go in you. But you see, he won't go where he's not, you know, invited, right? He doesn't go where he's not invited. And so he wants to come past there. You've got to let him in. You've got to bind and break those the power of those walls in your life. You've got to say, Jesus, I'm letting you in. I'm letting you go where you haven't been before. I'm letting you come in and love me where I need your love. I'm letting you come in and minister to me. And I'm not going to keep a wall up. I'm not going to block you out. And Lord, forgive me for blocking you out. And any demons that have created that wall, I command them to come out, that have helped create that wall, that blockage wall to block the Lord from coming in and ministering. So you come out of there right now. I tear down a wall in Jesus' name and command those demons that have created that wall or helped create that wall with your agreement and your help, the people's help. Come out of there all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Those wall-building demons. Come out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of there, all the way out. I bind you, break your hold. Come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. The name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, go. Thank you, Lord, for this deliverance today. Thank you for sealing this deliverance to people who have received deliverance today. We thank you, Lord, for sealing this deliverance to them. Thank you, Lord, for calling them to continue to be delivered and continuing to keep themselves ready to receive, Lord, what you have for them. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to people tonight. Thank you for blessing them. Thank you for encouraging them. Thank you for strengthening them spiritually today, Father, that they'll be spiritual giants, Father. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, we worship you, we honor you, we glorify you tonight. Amen, Jesus' name. All right, folks, the OasisCommunityChurch.com is the website. If you'd like to email me, the Oasis1, the number one, at localnet.com, the Oasis1 at localnet.com. You'd like to write to us, P.O. Box 50162, Billings, Montana, 59105. God bless you. Good evening to you, and blessed weekend to you, and we'll see you back next Friday in Jesus' name. All right. Could in some way express
The warmth of your tender love, the thrill of your sweet caress, love so amazing, so divine, love never changing, rich and rare, defies any words my heart can find. Your love is beyond compare. Roses of fairest bloom, violets of purest hue, the fragrance of sweet perfume, oceans of azure blue, the radiance of a summer day, white clouds floating on the crystal air, but all pale beside your love is beyond compare, beyond every song that human voices have ever sung, beyond any word that human tongue could ever speak, higher than the highest furthest mountain peak, and deeper than the deepest ocean currents flow, more than any human heart can know, purer than the freshest driven snow. And yet you did condescend to travel our rugged companion of humble men, bearing our heavy load, and with undying sympathy, you dry every tear, ease every care, I worship your majesty, your love is beyond compare,
beyond every song.
And yet you did condescend to travel our rugged road, companion of humble men, bearing our heavy load, and with undying sympathy, you dry every tear, ease every care, I worship your
Yes, it is beyond compare, isn't it? And don't block the Lord out. You know, we got to examine ourselves. Are we pushing the Lord away in some way in our lives? Are we pushing him away? We don't want to push him away at all. I mean, it's not the problem that he's not there. It's a problem that we're not, ready to receive him. We don't make ourselves ready to receive him. Is it something inside that is painful and you blame him secretly? I don't know. But I just felt that somehow we do push the Lord away sometimes. Are we just too busy for him? We just want to be about our business, what we want to do, maybe. And we push him away that way, too. Too busy with worldly endeavors, worldly things that are just working, could be a number of things that we push him away. Let's not push the Lord away. Let's just make open doors to Jesus. And open every room of the house, too. And, but I'm ashamed. Yeah, well, he'll clean away that shame. He'll clean it away. He'll clean up that room if you let him. Hallelujah. He'll clean up every room in your house if you let him. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want a room with a bunch of mice in there and scum and mildew and mold. Yeah, let him in. Let him clean us up. Let those demons go. That's the only way to hold on to them. Amen. You're precious to him. He loves you. He's gonna bring you through. And let him do it. He'll do it. He loves you with an everlasting, unfailing love, and it is beyond compare, like the song says. His love is beyond compare. You know that. Well, you need to know it. If you don't know it, you need to let God give you the revelation of it. Amen. Well, love y'all. Good talking to you today. And we'll see you back next Friday. Good night.